In the late 1940s, when the music of Thelonious Monk began to reach people's ears, it was almost like listening to something from another planet. Monk's melodies were angular, the playing was choppy, his character was eccentric. At first, he was dismissed as some kind of nut. Today, Monk's tunes are familiar classics. Round Midnight, Little Rudy Tootie, and Epistrophe are just a few of them. Now, Monk's revolutionary harmonies are taken to a new level, performed in novel ways by pianist John Stetch on his latest CD, Exponentially Monk. Along with fresh arrangements, John Stetch uses prepared piano techniques to extend the sound of the instrument. Stetch joins us from our New York bureau. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Leanne.
You know, the technique of, preparing a piano goes back to John Cage. He would do this thing extensively for his compositions. Tell us exactly what it is you've done to the piano. Let's take an example, the tune, Well, You Needn't.
Well, a few years ago, I started just putting my finger on one of the strings and hitting that note with the other hand, hitting the key. For that piece, I thought I'd take it a little further, and I took, I must have taken all the rubber wedges from my piano tuner. He probably had none left. And I put about 10 or so in between the bass strings, but at different points, so that there would be different overtones. And then I put the sustain pedal on so that they would echo a little bit, and then I would strike them with my left hand and play very softly with the right hand to bring out the melody.
Now, why do you think Monk's tunes are strong enough to withstand this kind of unusual piano treatment?
I guess because they're so catchy that even without the bass or the chords, they still sound like anyone could sing them walking down the street. And on one of my pieces, I took mallets, you know, that you would use on a timpani or something, and I just played the bass strings with that.
Tell us which tune that is.
That was on Think of One. And that's another piece that's, it goes da 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 da. Da 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 da, and it's so easy that you can almost do anything underneath that and it'll still work.
You use a term called low-end groove possibilities. You say that these things exist in the music. Point us to some of those places in the music.
Well, I guess like on those pieces we were talking about, on Think of One and Well, You Needn't, because there's no bass player and drummer and because it's only solo piano, I wanted to find a way of keeping the bass and the rhythm going without, you know, doing stride piano. I mean, I'm not necessarily very good at old-fashioned stride-style piano, and I didn't want to do a floaty cocktail piano kind of thing, so I'm trying to find my own way with the rhythm. And I guess every piece on that Monk album is just a different exploration of how I can try to bring that rhythmic element in, because that music needs rhythm.
It sounds like you're sort of deconstructing Monk's music and then taking the piano and deconstructing it and then trying to find out what kind of puzzle you can put together with both.
That's right, yeah. And some of the pieces, I almost take a lot of classical influence and make them into an etude just so I can have something really challenging for me to work on.
Huh, is there a one there that takes that classical flourish? Ask Me Now kind of begins to sound like Bach.
That's right, yeah. I took part of that, well, not directly from Bach, but there's a part that resembles a texture from a partita in B-flat. Thank you.
we talk about you for a minute?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me tell you a little biography. You grew up in Edmonton, Alberta, in Canada. Your dad was a big jazz fan. Is he the one that encouraged you to take up jazz piano?
You know, he's he's not the kind of guy that would ever force anything on anyone. And he's really mellow, but he loved jazz and he played it all the time in the car. And I think it just rubbed off on me. And all my siblings heard it too, but for some reason I was the only one that really got drawn into it. And I knew that he had a clarinet in the house and a saxophone, and I kind of persuaded him to let me try it, and he showed me the fingerings, and that was my first instrument, is the clarinet, and then the sax, and then I started piano pretty late, at around 18.
What was the inspiration to begin playing piano?
I think just hearing some music like Keith Jarrett and Kenny Kirkland, you know, and various other people, but I remember there were moments where I thought, wow, that is so percussive, and I love the possibilities of that you can play more than one note at a time, you can entertain yourself if you don't have people playing with you, you can do harmonies, chords, a whole symphony at your fingertips, and rhythm too.
You grew up in the Ukrainian community there in Edmonton, yeah?
Yes. We didn't speak that much Ukrainian at home, but I did have to take all those cultural classes and summer courses and things like that. So I played in a Ukrainian polka band for a while, sang in a choir, did Ukrainian dancing. Luckily, I quit before my knees gave out.
A polka band, huh?
Oh, yeah.
6 years?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got out at a good time because, you know, the bars were always open to the musicians. And I remember the bass player had about a 30 or 40 foot long cord, and he would go out and mingle with the audience while he was playing because the music wasn't that hard, you know. So
sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But did that prepare you for a career in jazz?
It gave me a chance to play in front of public, in front of the public, because I was so nervous those first few times. I remember I had to memorize all these Ukrainian polka tunes that were, a lot of them were in the same key, and so I would mix them all up because they were these simple pieces, and I had to play them on clarinet and flute and sax and a Ukrainian sapilka, which is a little Ukrainian flute. I think it prepared me just as far as the role of music, that it can actually serve people in a real direct physical way, that they can dance to it.
Hmm. Your discography includes a lot of original works, and you also play standards. Why did you decide to focus on Thelonious Monk for this recording?
I guess because so many people record that, and it's almost like a standard repertoire, and a lot of people just eventually record Monk because it's maybe a final testing ground for one's personality. If you can bring your personality to that music without copying Monk, then that would be a challenging thing to do. And plus, I like the fact that everyone recognizes it already because it's well-known music. I love the pieces anyways, and I thought for solo piano especially, that would be a real challenge.
Which cut was the most challenging for you?
I think Crisscross, actually, because it was kind of a theme in variations, and it pushed my technique to the limit because it was not in so much a classical way, but just in some different ways where the touch has to be really accurate, and you know, there's a lot of crossing over, which comes from the title of Crisscross. Thank you.
What kind of reaction are you getting to these interpretations of Monk's tunes?
Well, I was nervous at first when I first played a couple of them. I didn't know how they would come off, and because I was a little underconfident at first, I don't think they came off that well, but then more and more, as I play them with more confidence, they're coming off better, and people are enjoying them.
Hmm. Have you encountered any purists who think perhaps you're taking this a little bit too far?
Oh, sure. There's some people that have said, well, I like Monk like a box of chocolates. I know exactly what I'm going to get, and I know it's going to be a certain flavor, and, you know. But that, I expected that, so.
So you're just giving them a whole other different kind of candy, huh?
That's right. But that's why I tried to do a couple straight-ahead versions also.
John Stetch joined us from our New York bureau. His CD, Exponentially Monk, is on Just in Time Records. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Leanne.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.
Our story on the Mound Valley one-room schoolhouse was produced by the Western Folklife Center, with support from the George S. and Dolores Dory Eccles Foundation.